Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we are going to be talking about a couple of very exciting historical, history-making. You can be part of history this weekend with the 50th anniversary celebration of the bridge rededication ceremony on Saturday morning, and the Flavel House tour, the other Flavel House tour, which is being organized by the Clatsop County Historical Society. And here in the studio, I have Mac Burns. Mac is the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. Hi, Mac.
Hey, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is just incredible what's happening. I'm really thrilled about it. And before we talk about how the public can be part of making history, let's talk a little bit about you and history.
We don't want to do
that. Oh, just a tiny bit of your history. Well, someone may be listening, they don't know Mac Burns.
How could that be?
How can people not know MacAndrew Burns?
I'm Mac Burns, the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. We operate four museums, the Flavel House, of course, the Heritage Museum and the Old City Hall, the Uppertown Firefighters Museum, and the Oregon Film Museum. And even though we say the word Clatsop County, we are not a government agency, so we always have our hand out.
Yes, indeed. And being a member of the Clatsop County Historical Society is a very powerful and important way that you can help preserve the character and history of this place.
And when we have special tours like this Sunday at the other Flavel House, it saves you some serious bucks.
It does indeed. All right, so Mac, you still didn't tell us anything about yourself. Give us just at least a couple sentences.
Well, I've been here for 13 years and...
And have done amazing things.
And I have been very fortunate.
Well, we're glad to have you.
I've had a very great team around me of board members, volunteers, and staff, so we've been able to accomplish a lot.
All right, let's talk about the Astoria Megler Bridge.
Yeah.
So 50 years ago, it was dedicated.
It was dedicated 50 years ago, 1966 in August, during the regatta. And it was a huge deal because, of course, it changed the very face of our communities. It changed how we get across the river. It changed transportation. Economically, it had a huge impact. Visually, it had a huge impact, and 30,000 people celebrated that weekend. Both governors from Oregon and Washington were here. The head of ODOT and the head of the Washington Department of Transportation were here, and Miss Oregon and Miss Washington were here to celebrate, and it was a big deal.
And we're making a big deal, but we're going to find out about the history of the bridge in just a minute. But just so we can say this several times throughout the program, what's happening on Saturday morning at 9 a.m.?
This Saturday at 9 a.m., we're going to rededicate the Astoria Megler Bridge. 50 years ago, it was just the Astoria Bridge, and now, of course, it's the Astoria Megler Bridge. And we've got some speechifying, as I call it. We'll have Betsy Johnson and ODOT will be represented, and the governor of Washington will be represented, and the Burgermeisterin from Waldorf will be here with an entire contingent from Waldorf, our sister city.
In Germany,
our sister city. And that's kind of a big deal because 50 years ago they were here, and it was the first time in our sister city relationship that a whole contingent from Germany came over. And in fact, one of the fellows coming in the group they arrived today. His grandfather was here 50 years ago, and he's got footage and photographs of, there's my grandfather. So he's very excited. We'll do this at 9 a.m.
at the Maritime Memorial
Park under the bridge by the Holiday Inn Express. It's not going to be a huge ceremony, hours and hours long or anything like that. Probably about a half an hour, and we'll have Miss Oregon there to sing the national anthem, and it's kind of neat. We've got Miss Oregon from 50 years ago. We'll also be there. She's coming back, so we'll get the two Miss Oregons together, and then we'll encourage the public to drive across the bridge, and if you are willing to play our reindeer games and drive across the bridge between 9:30 and 11 a.m. and go to Dismal Niche, we'll give you free a commemorative token.
That sounds like so much fun. And what's going to happen is that the first vehicle to cross the bridge is going to be...
the same vehicle that was the first vehicle to cross the bridge 50 years ago, the clown car. Jeff Daly and his wacky backwards clown car. That was the clown car. And, of course, the clowns are so important to the story of the bridge. And that was the first vehicle to drive across the bridge. So,
But the very first vehicle to drive across the bridge... period, when the bridge opened.
after it was officially opened.
Okay.
There had been vehicles on the bridge before, but we're cutting the ribbon, and now the bridge is officially open. The clown car was the first.
The first car after it was officially open. Okay.
So since it's driving backwards, I don't know if we're like going back in time or what the deal
maybe,
is.
Yeah, maybe time travel, maybe. Well, let's explain to folks who may not know the connection between the Astoria Clowns, first of all, and the bridge. Who were the Astoria Clowns?
Well, the Astoria Clowns, and that is one thing that I hope people gain an understanding of or appreciation of, I should say, that I dare say without the Astoria Clowns, that bridge would not exist. This community and Congress had advocated and passed legislation to allow a bridge to be built as early as the early 1930s, but funding was always the issue. And, of course, then World War II got in the way, but Congress had, again, authorized construction of a bridge if you can figure out a way to pay for it. And it wasn't until the late 1950s and early 1960s that a group of business people, businessmen, because we're talking the 50s, of course, started advocating for this bridge. Said, let's build this bridge. And they had been to a parade or two and just wacky. They dressed as clowns and had fun. And one of them had been somewhere, a chamber of commerce or a Rotary Club or someplace outside of the community. And the group said, you clowns from Astoria think we should pay, the rest of the state should pay for your bridge to nowhere? And they laughed. They said, yeah, we are a bunch of clowns. So these guys organized. And if you notice on the side of the car, it said, let's build the bridge. And these 10 to 15 businessmen from downtown Astoria spent their weekends, spent days away from their businesses and families, driving all around the state of Washington and the state of Oregon for 2 years advocating, let's build this bridge. This is vitally important. It's not an Astoria thing. This is something that's good for all of Oregon, all of Washington. And finally, the bonds were passed and the bridge was able to be built.
So the clowns, the Astoria Clowns, were the champions of the bridge because they thought it would be good for economic development.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're business people. So
you
open up the bridge. And
right.
You know, part of the ferry was certainly, we have fond memories of the ferry, and it's a wonderful thing that the ferry's come back. But it could only take a certain number of cars at a time. And when you've got a World's Fair up in Seattle and people are trying to drive up and down this coast, this was a bottleneck. And stormy weather, or oftentimes the ferry would run aground on a sandbar and have to wait for the tides to change. It was not the same stream of flow of traffic that we have today that we take for granted. While the ferry certainly has its human, warm, fuzzy, feel-good aspect, in terms of moving goods and transportation, it was not the answer, and that's why the bridge was needed.
That's right. The bridge was the last link to this 1,500-mile chain that come from Mexico to Canada.
Mexico to Canada, yeah. This was the one spot you couldn't drive smoothly, that sometimes you might get stuck and have to wait in hotel and wait, or camp out, or you'd have to wait a few hours because there was a line of cars ahead of you.
And the bridge did open up economic development. And the reason that I feel like I know a lot more about the bridge than I did before I went to the Heritage Museum is because I did go to the Heritage Museum yesterday and looked at your bridge exhibit, which is fantastic.
It's a lot of fun.
Not only is there a video Jeff Daly made about the building of the bridge with old footage, there is also a video about the Astoria Clowns. And you can ride a unicycle if you try.
You ride a unicycle. Learn how to be a unicycle rider.
Try to ride a unicycle.
And we give you clown noses.
Yes. And you can really understand why the bridge was so important. I mean, I learned so much, and it was terrific. I really urge everyone to go to the Heritage Museum, which is our underappreciated gem. If you want to understand Astoria, you understand this region and our history, I just can't say enough good about the Heritage Museum.
Yeah, and it's a really fun exhibit. It'll be up all year. We'll probably take it down January, February, but ODOT has been really generous in loaning us some artifacts, including a toll booth operator's uniform.
Yes, I saw she didn't make me pay any money, though.
She didn't,
she
didn't accept
the
toll.
She was kind of quiet.
The toll came down, so, you know.
That's right.
Including one of my favorite things is one of the original lights from the top of the bridge. And we put a light bulb in it, and it's lit up, and it's kind of neat.
And in fact, the bridge did open up timber, open up, you know, the market for products and for tourism. I mean, the bridge did what it did facilitate economic development the way the clowns had envisioned.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it's very short-sighted of us if we look at ourselves as separate little islands, Astoria, Warrenton, Seaside, Long Beach. We're all connected. And that bridge and the river aren't a divider. They're a connector. And when one community benefits, we all benefit.
So the bridge to nowhere became...
The bridge to everywhere.
The bridge to everywhere. Exactly. Now, I love also on the display at the Heritage Museum, your exhibit, that you also talk about the ferries. And I think it's so important because now we have, in Astoria, we're so fortunate, we have the Tourist Number 2.
That's right.
The almost 100-year-old flat-bottom riverboat that came down from the ocean, mm-hmm. came down from Puget Sound, and arrived mm-hmm. here safely because it is made of old-growth timber. It is a powerful, very well-built, beautiful boat. And it's here. It's going to be part of the regatta.
Yeah.
It's going to be part of the bridge rededication ceremony.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I saw at the exhibit at the Heritage Museum was there was a lot about the ferries. There were some pictures. And there was a lovely little piece I'd like to read just about,
sure.
because we have the ferry here, and I know we're going to talk about a lot of other things too, but this was written by Herb Haywood for the Daily Astorian. It was a Daily Astorian editorial probably just before the bridge opened, mm-hmm. and it's entitled Lament for Ferries to the Editor. So the ferries plying the Columbia between Astoria and Megler will run no more. Once again, progress has taken the romance out of the pleasure of travel. How we looked forward to the tide on the ferry, to the ride. How about the ride, Donna? Okay. How we looked forward to the ride on the ferry across the Columbia, great-bosomed and friendly, on our trip to the beach. The cool river beckoned. What a thrill we got from the blast of the whistle, the jingle of bells in the engine room, the churning of the green water into a white froth, the vibration of the boat, which tingled our whole being. What a pleasure it was to eat in the snack bar and watch Astoria recede in the distance. What fun we had feeding the gulls and watching them catch food in midair. What a good feeling we had as we waved a friendly greeting to the passengers of the other ferry as we passed in midstream. Speed has taken the joy out of the leisure and friendliness of life.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's so beautiful. And now we have this.
We just don't write that way anymore.
No, we don't write this way anymore. That's true. We're all in a hurry. But the bridge is a wonderful thing. However, we're really thrilled that the Tourist Number 2, the ferry, is back here
yeah.
now in Astoria.
And actually, if you go down and look at the Tourist Number 2, you know, by the Riverwalk there, there's a piece missing. You have to come to the Heritage Museum to actually see the sign. We have the original sign from
yes!
the top of it, Tourist Number 2 on exhibit.
I did see that original sign. And right now, the Tourist Number 2 is parked at the 17th Street Pier right next to the
Columbia River,
the Lightship Columbia and the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And it's open for tours this afternoon. I think it's 3 to 7.
Oh, great.
And then tomorrow all day and Saturday, it's going to be part of the bridge rededication ceremony.
Yeah, it's going to do a swing by as we're in the middle of rededicating the bridge.
That is so great, Mac. If you've just... Terry Wilson wants to say something.
Well, I've got a couple of questions. I rode the Tourister many times.
Yes.
And I can't find out how much it costs to ride on the ferry with a car. Also, what was the toll on the bridge when it opened?
You'd have to come to my exhibit, because I've not memorized my exhibit. But the toll actually changed over time.
Yeah.
And that was actually the first temporary exhibit we did was a sign exhibit, because I was looking through our collections and I saw one of the last toll signs. And it just made me laugh, because there were about 8 different categories. If you had a car and it was towing something, that was different than just a car. And if you had a 4-axle versus a 6-axle, and it just made me laugh. And I said, we got to put that on exhibit. No, the toll changed over time. Even to begin with, there was a big wide variety of fees. And then I know from people that have told me, in terms of riding the ferry, I've heard a dime, I've heard a quarter. So that obviously changed over time as well.
Very cheap.
Yes.
Compared to today's price.
Yeah.
And the bridge was paid off.
They paid it off. That's one of the amazing things that the when they were passing the bond, they promised, once it's paid for, we will remove the toll. And, of course, in this day and age where people are skeptical of government and government promises, they took the toll down 2 years earlier than they anticipated. Of course, now we're forced to pay out of our tax dollars the repair work and painting, things like that. If we'd kept the toll, we'd have plenty of money for that.
What I liked also learning was that, there was just so much to see at the bridge exhibit at the Heritage Museum was the fact that when it was first open, automobiles going across would get splattered with green paint.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There were about 1,000 insurance claims made for the bridge. And what's funny, part of the bridge celebration all year, we've been doing different things. And we've had a series of bridge lectures, talks, and somebody made reference to that, and a guy came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, we were on our honeymoon here 50 years ago, and when we got home, our car was covered with green paint. I didn't know where it came from, but now I know.
How funny. Oh my gosh. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Town. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm talking with Mac Burns. He is the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. We've been talking about a very special, a one-of-a-kind, a unique You're Making History event this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. at the Maritime Memorial Park on the Riverwalk in Astoria. There will be a bridge rededication.
So if you love the bridge, come on down and hear some nice short little talks and celebrate history, another 50 years of this bridge, and then get in your car and drive across and get a little commemorative token. They had tokens 50 years ago that they gave out. We've recreated one side of that is the exact same. The back of it 50 years ago was a little 50 cents off downtown stores. So instead, we've put the same as the front, but we've updated it. So instead of bridge dedication, we're saying bridge rededication. Instead of Astoria Bridge, we're saying Astoria Megler Bridge, and of course, we'll have the date.
Yes, and the museum in Owako has a wonderful exhibit on Megler.
Megler, yeah.
And why? And for those folks who are listening, may not know the difference between Dismal Niche and Megler, because when the ferries were running, they went to Megler.
My understanding is that they're pretty close to the same location.
Okay, so Megler, now called Dismal Niche, that area is where the ferries would land. And then that's where it became the Astoria Megler Bridge.
Yeah, but for the rest of the story, you should go visit the museum in Owako.
Exactly. Museums are just amazing. And there's another incredible thing happening this weekend. It's a museum, but it's a house. What is it?
Years in the making. The other Flavelle House.
The mysterious.
Filled in mystery and legend and myths and all that good stuff. Of course, it was the home built by Captain Flavelle's son, George Conrad Flavelle, in 1901. But most folks today remember it as the house that Mary Louise and Harry Flavelle owned for many years. But a year ago, it came up for sale, and Greg Neuenhoff, the co-owner of City Lumber, purchased it.
A local, yes.
A local. And his heart is in the right place. He is restoring it lovingly. He spent a year cleaning it out and making some of the non-fun repairs, like a new roof and a new chimney and electrical and things like that. He's nowhere near ready to move in, but he's had so many people, even though he's put no trespassing signs, just walk into his house while he's in there working, or walk up on the front porch and say, well, I just want to look, that he came to us. He's become a good friend of the Historical Society. And he said, you know, why don't we do a homes tour through it? Let people take a look. And why don't you charge money and make a little bit of money for yourself? So that is happening this Sunday between 10 and 4. It will be a self-guided, but there will be volunteers in the house to answer questions, and Greg and John Gutenberger will be there. But between 10 and 4, you can either buy a ticket ahead of time, $25 per ticket, or if you are a member of the Historical Society, only $10.
I think becoming a member is the best thing to do, because then you're supporting.
Well, and that's what we've been telling people, that if a husband and wife are buying two tickets, that's $50. One of you could buy an individual membership for $35, and then two tickets for $10, so $55, and you get a membership.
That's
and a lot of people have been doing that math and realizing that maybe they should be members of the Historical Society.
Well, this is a really exciting thing, because not only the people who live here in this area who have seen it looked like the haunted house kind of on the hill,
yes. You
know. Why don't you give the location for the house?
It's at 15th and Franklin.
Right.
And you can't miss it. Everybody knows this house. And in fact, it is something that's far beyond Astoria. When we announced this, we did it through social media first. And within a few days, we'd already sold dozens and dozens of tickets, but I actually took a phone call from one. A woman said, my mother has been following this story on Facebook for years, so when we saw this, we just had to buy tickets. Can we do it over the phone? And I said, sure, you know, if you're not local, we can mail them to you. Took her credit card information, and then I said, where am I mailing these? And she gave me her address in Wisconsin. And I said, is your mom, like, here in Portland or Astoria? No, we're both in Wisconsin. I said, did mom grow up here or something? No, we're from Wisconsin. She's been following it on Facebook for years. And they are coming out specifically to go through the other Flavel house.
Oh, Mac, that's a great story.
So since then, we've been taking other phone calls from Seattle and Portland and Eugene. And everyone wants to say, are we the furthest? We just laugh and say, not even close.
Oh, you know, the Oregonian had it in the paper, I think, yesterday.
It the first story hit Sunday, and it was forwarded. So not just pinged or looked at. The story was forwarded 8,100 times.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Astoria is definitely in the news, not only because, there was a full page in the Sunday paper also about the return of the ferry.
The tourist number two,
the ferry, back here now. And then the Flavel house. So that's what makes this place special.
That touch emotional chords.
Yes, indeed. What are the things that you hope people will learn about either the bridge and its, you know, importance and the clowns?
And that's exactly the biggest thing. When we started this, we gathered a group of organizations, the Chamber of Commerce, the city, ODOT, the Columbia River Maritime Museum, Regatta Association, the school district. I know I'm forgetting at least a half a dozen other organizations. And we sat around the table the first few times more than a year ago. And we said, how should we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the bridge? And there were four main components that we came up with, and Saturday is one of those. But one of the things in the back of my mind all along was that I wanted people to understand the relationship and the importance of the Astoria clowns in the creation of that bridge. I think a lot of us that move here take things for granted that were not easy for this community to accomplish. We come here and we see a Flavel house, and how neat is that? We see a Columbia River Maritime Museum or a trolley, and a bridge is something really easy to take for granted because, well, the government just built that, and we don't think about it. But there was a group of citizens that took time away from their families and their businesses at their own expense. They didn't get reimbursed. They had to spend their own gas money and beer money and food money driving around two states, tirelessly advocating for 2 years. And we know the clowns still exist, but they're more than a group that just happens to be in a parade that we enjoy once a year or a couple of times a year. This was a group that worked very hard to change and improve this community, and we should celebrate that, and yes, we should understand that.
Yes, and Jeff Daly has
the original clown car.
And that's quite an incredible story in and of itself. That's just amazing. Again, we want to honor and tradition and take care of the things that are here we just have things here that no one else has.
Yeah, one of the neat things as well, and during this process, one of the other things we wanted to do was a reunion of guys that worked on the bridge. And 50 years ago, that means they're all probably minimum 70 years old, so I wasn't sure how many we might find. And a terrific little committee got together and worked very hard on this. And I thought I'd be excited if we found five. And we're in communication with between 15 and 20. And they're going to be back. They'll be part of the celebration at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. But then there's also going to be a little reunion for them at the Heritage Museum that afternoon. They'll be in the parade as well. But it's exciting. And it's a way for us to say thank you to them.
Well, there's a lot happening because of Regatta.
Regatta.
And Regatta pins are available everywhere throughout town, I think. And we just have a few minutes left, Mac. What other things would you like the listening audience to know? I think the fact that the Waldorf contingent, I mean, you have 15 people who have flown over here from Waldorf, Germany to be part of the bridge.
And that relationship, I think a lot of people take for granted as well. This was the first Germany to United States sister city relationship after World War II. And the mayor at the time was Jewish, Harry Steinbach. And when we were first approached, it seemed a natural. Waldorf, the place where John Jacob Astor was born, and Astoria, a town that was created because of John Jacob Astor. And he wasn't sure that he wanted to do that because of World War II and the Holocaust. And it took a pretty amazing step to agree. And he went over with the city manager and they formed this relationship. The mayor, the burgermeister had gone back and forth, but the bridge celebration 1966 was the first time that it wasn't just the city manager or the mayor, that it was, let's bring a whole group of citizens over to enjoy the hospitality and see what our sister city's like. And it's been an amazing relationship. It's been very good for the community. They've been very generous to us. And just the fact that this one guy whose grandfather, I mean, it's very important emotionally for him. He's doing the same thing Grandpa did 50 years ago.
Oh, I want to meet him. So he'll be there, right?
Yeah, he's going to speak. His name is actually James Kempf, and he'll be one of our speakers Saturday morning.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so let's tell people again the things that are happening and only happening this weekend. These Making History events, which you can be part of with your family.
Bridge rededication, 9 a.m., Maritime Memorial Park by the Holiday Inn Express. Parking on your own, good luck. And then after we do the, as I call it, the speechifying, probably about a half an hour, you'll be invited to get in your car, drive across the bridge. We're not closing the bridge or anything like that. Drive across to Dismal Niche. We'll give you, everybody in the car will give a little token too. And then enjoy the parade. Stop by the Heritage Museum anytime between now and the end of the year and enjoy the bridge exhibit and learn tons there. Learn how to ride a unicycle, get a clown nose. And then Sunday, line permitting, come into the other Flavel House, 15th and Franklin. Thank you to City Lumber and Greg Neuenhoff for their generosity and openness. And come see the house, what it looks like inside.
Can people buy tickets for the Flavel House, the other Flavel House tour at any of the Clatsop County Historical Museums?
Just at the Carriage House.
Just at the Carriage House.
The Carriage House,
house
Visitor
Flavel
Center.
House.
Yeah, and we're open every day from 9:30 until 5. You can come in and buy tickets. You can become a member if you want to get cheaper tickets. Or you can stand in a longer line Sunday and buy them there.
Okay.
We'll have two lines, a ticket holders and a ticket buyers line.
All right, so probably great idea to get your ticket in advance.
That will this definitely make like your experience a little faster.
If we have people flying in from Wisconsin to have this tour. So all of these amazing opportunities. This is the weekend to come out, whether you're going to the land parade, but definitely take advantage of going to the bridge rededication ceremony. The ferry that hasn't been here for 50 years, that's back now, will be doing a sail-by, drive-by.
Yeah, what is it called?
The bridge. I don't know. That's a good question. We should find out.
Float-by.
Float-by.
There we go.
Yes, the float-by. And then the ferry will also be in the grand parade, the
Saturday night.
The boat parade.
Which has really been taken off the last few years. I've really enjoyed it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, people think about the land parade, but we are a town. This Columbia River.
We're a river town.
We're a river town. So we need to honor the river. Yeah. Mac, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have so many great things going on at the Historical Society, and we're just thrilled to be part of all
and
of it.
Come make some history.
Come make history this weekend. Exactly. So, and if you want more information about this, you can call the Clatsop County
Historical Society. 325-2203.
325-2203, area code 503. Thanks again, Mac. And Terry Wilson, as usual, thank you for being a fabulous engineer this morning. And I really want to extend my gratitude to all of you who listen to Talk of Our Towns on Wednesday mornings and to KMUN throughout the year, the day, the minutes. And my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week. Take a moment for yourself. Find that moment to take a deep breath. It oxygenates your body, your cells. It helps your mind, your spirit. Focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't going well. You just turn on the news and that can send you into a bit of a depression. So think about the things, the birds singing, the clouds moving in the sky, living in this beautiful place. Think about the things that are going well and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.